Why do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And your English will improve today. We're continuing to learn with Joe, Life in Nepal, Part 3. Now, there was a very important sentence in yesterday's lesson. Flexibility is key. It's important to be flexible when you're doing something new or when you're traveling to a place that is completely foreign to you. Well, what kinds of ways did Jo need to be flexible during her time in Nepal? Can you think of any, Carolyn?
Well, we learned yesterday that she was only supposed to be in Dolaka for 1 week, mm-hmm. but she ended up staying much longer because of things that she couldn't control. She experienced food poisoning that delayed her return, and there's not much you can do. If you eat something bad, you just have to wait for it to pass. There was also a political strike, and she has no control over that. So she has to be flexible with her schedule and wait.
That's right. She had no control over these things. Of course, another way she had to be flexible was she wanted to make some new friends, but something stopped that from happening as well. The dormitory father wouldn't allow these girls to hang around Joe too much. Well, let's continue learning with her experiences in today's lesson. Life in Nepal, Part 3.
Life in Nepal, Part 3. Living at the dorm was uncomfortable. My bed was like a rock and too short for my 165-centimeter frame. My feet hung over the end. Lentils and rice were served twice a day, but my problems with food poisoning kept me from eating any. We had no shower, so I washed my hair twice a week in a bucket. My roommates made my stay bearable and even fun. They were Nepali sisters who had grown up in Singapore. They bridged the language and cultural gaps I experienced daily.
Hello, listeners. This is your Word Lady, Ellen. We're back for day two and the last day of our adventures with Joe in Nepal. Before we begin, let's take a look at our keywords for the day. Frame. Frame is a noun. Hank has a large frame. He's very tall and broad. Bearable. Bearable is an adjective. You can make a long lecture bearable by taking notes. Navigate. Navigate is a verb. It's difficult to navigate the rough years of junior high school. Relieve. Relieve is a verb. Kathleen's mom was relieved when Kathleen decided not to get a tattoo. Your more information word is lentil. Lentil is a noun. Let's jump right in to the article.
I'm very glad to learn that Jo was able to make some friends while she was in Nepal. Well, let's go back to the beginning of today's lesson. Living at the dorm was uncomfortable. And, well, many dorms are uncomfortable, but this one, I think, was especially uncomfortable.
That's right, and we read why here. She says, "My bed was like a rock and too short for my 165-centimeter frame. My feet hung over the end." They hung over the end of her bed. Well, her bed was like a rock. If someone describes something and they say it's like a rock, usually that means it's uncomfortably hard.
That's right. But it could also mean that it is very, very strong. Mm-hmm. So if you say that person is like a rock, that means that you can trust them. They will always come through for you, and they're a very strong person. But you don't want your bed to be like a rock, because
nope.
It would be very difficult to sleep on a rock.
It's true, but I know some people enjoy sleeping on beds that are a little more hard. Hey, that's a good question. Do you like sleeping on beds that are soft or hard? Do you like sleeping on something that is like a rock, Carolyn?
I do not. I prefer a softer bed, so I have a mattress pad on top of my bed.
Well, me too. But Joe here was sleeping on a mattress like a rock, and it was too short for her frame. Let's take a look at that word, frame. Now, the frame is the outside of something. Usually, I think of a picture frame, don't you?
Yes, usually you would think of a frame that goes around the edge of something. You could also talk about your bed frame.
Yeah.
That is what the mattress is on top of. But here, this is Jo's frame, and that means the size and shape of her body. So, Jo seems to be a little bit taller than the other girls in this dormitory, and so her bed is just too short because Jo's frame is larger than the bed.
That's right. Jo's frame is larger or longer than the bed frame is. Well, and that's why her feet hung over the end. Jo, I completely understand. I have slept in similar beds where my feet just hang over the end. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, it has not happened to me, Gabe, but we continue learning from Joe's article here. Lentils and rice were served twice a day, but my problems with food poisoning kept me from eating any. So she had food poisoning before, and she still seems to be having some stomach problems.
That's right. Well, lentils. We see that word at the beginning of this sentence. Lentils and soup. That's what she ate. Now, lentil is a kind of little bean, and actually, I enjoy eating lentils in soups or different kinds, but if you have it every day, I guess it might get a little bit boring.
It could get boring, and if you're having stomach problems, it's hard to eat anything, really, if you have food poisoning. Continuing, we had no shower, so I washed my hair twice a week in a bucket. Now, this would be very difficult to get used to if you are accustomed or used to having a shower. Here, she had to wash her hair twice a week in a bucket. In a bucket, she couldn't shower every day.
And you know what? Sometimes we call that a bucket bath. If you don't have access to a shower, a bathtub, in a bathroom somewhere, then you might have to just fill a bucket with water and take a bucket bath. And of course, you don't get your whole body inside. It's not that kind of bath. You are just washing yourself with the water from the bucket.
That's right. Well, this would be very difficult, but we learn, as Joe writes, my roommates made my stay bearable and even fun. So, well, that's very good to know. They made her stay bearable, Gabe.
That's right. Well, I'm glad that it was bearable for her. Let's take a look at that word. If something is bearable, that means you can stand it. That means you can bear it. You're okay with it. It might be a little bit difficult, but you can push through. How else could you use that word? Well, you could talk about something being unbearable. That means you can't stand it. You don't know what to do. You can't finish it. It's unbearable.
But, you know what, if you have fun, if you can enjoy life, perhaps there is something that makes a difficult situation you are facing bearable. Maybe it's the people around you. The love and support from your family makes it bearable.
I think love from friends and family make a lot of things bearable in life. Well, Joe continues, they were Nepalese sisters who had grown up in Singapore. So they're very multicultural as well. And they bridge the language and cultural gaps I experienced daily.
That's right. And we see a great phrase there. They bridged the gap. So bridging a gap means to connect things that are very different. So the culture and language in Nepal is very different from Joe's experience in the United States. And she needed something to make a connection. And it sounds like her roommates from Singapore are able to do that.
That's right. Well, what else could bridge the gap? Sometimes people think that let's talk in English is very easy. Studio classroom may be too hard. Well, Cyber Fun or Cyber Village online can bridge the gap between the two. There are many things in life that might have a gap. How do you bridge that gap? Well, Michelle is also very good at bridging the gap. Let's go and learn something with her now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点，我们看 frame 这个名词。Frame 在这里是指一个人的骨架。例如 ,her small frame makes her look like a teenager. 她娇小的骨架让她看起来像个少女。Frame 也指相框或框架。例如 ,Ellen kept a picture of her child in a silver frame. Ellen 把她的小孩的照片放在一个银色的相框里。或者是 ,the house's frame is quite solid. 这个房子的骨架非常稳固。继续我们看的是 bearable 这个形容词。Bear 是指忍受或忍耐，所以 bearable 是指可忍受的或者是可容忍的。例如 ,her friendship with her classmates made Chloe's life in school bearable. 同学之间的友谊让 Chloe 在学校的生活可以忍受。它的反义词是自首加上 un 变成 unbearable, 意思是指令人无法忍耐的。例如 ,people find her arrogance unbearable. 人们觉得她骄傲的态度令人无法忍受。
Well, we've been learning about Jo's interesting and somewhat difficult experiences during her time in Nepal. She was staying in a dormitory on a bed that was really hard. She says it was like a rock, and the bed frame was a little bit too short. Her feet hung over the end. And of course, she was able to eat lentils and soup, but she had problems with food poisoning still, so she couldn't enjoy everything that came her way. Well, we also learned that she had good roommates, and this was very important. It made her stay in Nepal bearable. Let's learn more right now in the second part of our lesson.
Life in Nepal, Part 3. They came from the developed world, but navigated the rough edges of Kathmandu with learned ease.We shared stories, sighed over pop stars, and watched Korean dramas into the night together. Without their help and humor, I would have probably cried myself to sleep every night. Now, years later, I remember my stay in Nepal as a time of homesickness. I was so relieved to go home. It wasn't until much later that I realized the full value of my experience and all it had taught me.
Types of experiences can teach you a lot, and it can give you something great to write about and share with people later. Well, let's go back to the beginning of this section. Joe writes, they came from the developed world, but navigated the rough edges of Kathmandu with learned ease. Now, these people that she, is talking about happen to be her roommates who grew up in Singapore.
That's right. And so Singapore is part of the developed world. We're talking about developed as opposed to maybe a third world or underdeveloped country like Nepal. And so Singapore is part of the developed world, but they were able to navigate through Nepal and Kathmandu with learned ease. Let's take a look at our word bank word here, navigate. That means you are guiding your way through something.
That's right. And so if you move to another place, you need to learn how to navigate that city. It might be set up very, very differently from what you are used to. I come from a very small town, so navigating a city like Taipei is very difficult for me at first. Now I don't have much problem.
That's right. So you can navigate through a new city, or you can navigate even online. You can navigate around a certain website and find your way around that website and learn new things there. So these people, these girls, they helped Joe navigate around the rough edges of Kathmandu, I'm sure. And these rough edges, that means it's kind of difficult to live there in some ways.
That's right. And they did it with learned ease. Now, you'll notice that here this word has two syllables. It's not with learned ease. It's learned because this is a different part of speech, right, Gabe?
That's right. This is used as an adjective here. It's learned ease. All right, there are a couple of the other words in English that can kind of be said the same way. Well, we continue here. We shared stories, sighed over pop stars, and watched Korean dramas into the night together. Well, looks like she's having a really good time with her roommates. They were able to even sigh over their favorite celebrities.
Yes, they were, Gabe. It sounds like they are able to bond and take their budding friendship and let it develop as they sigh over these pop stars. Now, if you sigh over something, that means that you just look at it and you admire it and, oh, you yes. just think it's wonderful, Gabe.
So wonderful that it makes you... sigh. Okay, so they're sighing or they're talking about their favorite pop stars. And she says that without their help and humor, I probably would have cried myself to sleep every night. I would have probably cried myself to sleep every night. Carolyn, have you ever cried yourself to sleep?
Well, Gabe, that is a very difficult question to answer. You know, sometimes you feel very upset about something, and you can't help but cry. Now, if you cry yourself to sleep, that means that you are still crying as you fall asleep. So something is very upsetting, and Joe was facing a very difficult situation, and so if she hadn't had such wonderful friends, she probably would have cried herself to sleep.
That's right. Maybe she did sometimes, but they made this stay more bearable. She says, now years later, I remember my stay in Nepal as a time of homesickness. All right, sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't know what to think. But now she's thinking back and she remembers, yeah, I was homesick the whole time.
Yes, so it was a time of homesickness. And Steve and Ken have something they want to tell us about that word homesick, or is it homesick? Let's learn with them right now.
Hello, friends. Have you ever felt homesick? When you're homesick, you're not sick in the usual way, like with a cold or chickenpox. Homesick means you're upset, sad, and maybe scared because you're away from home and badly miss it.
Maybe you've never felt homesick, but I'm sure you've been homesick. That is when you take the day off to stay at home when you are not feeling well.
So, what's the difference? Well, homesick is one word, whereas homesick is two words.
But you don't have to see the words to tell them apart. Listen to where the stress is. Johnny felt homesick after he moved out of the house. The stress is on the first syllable, homesick.
But Johnny is also homesick with the flu. In this case, the stress is on the word sick.
Of course, being homesick may also lead to being homesick. After graduating from high school, Johnny went off to college. But one day, he felt sick and couldn't go to class. So he was homesick.
And when he was lying in bed, he realized how great it was when his parents were there to take care of him. And so he felt
homesick.
Poor Johnny. 如果要你一个人在尼泊尔生活，你会不会像今天课文的作者一样感到 homesick？Homesick 不是真的 sick, 而是想家。名词 homesickness 就是乡愁。要注意 homesick 是一个字，它的重音在前面 homesick, 不要讲成 homesick。如果讲 homesick, 重音在后面会让人以为在家里生病。Johnny is homesick with the flu. Johnny 因为感冒待在家里养病。那在这里呢 ,homesick 是分开成两个字。这就是今天的 InfoCloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, guys. Well, Joe was experiencing some homesickness in Nepal. And she continues here, I was so relieved to go home. That's a word from our word bank. Carolyn, when do you feel relieved?
Well, when I'm really worried about something, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then it all turns out okay. There are no problems.I feel very relieved.
That's right. So maybe you're worried about a person. They got lost. Everyone's looking for them. and they finally are found. You could say, I was so worried about you. I'm relieved that you're okay. I'm okay now because you're okay. Well, Joe says it wasn't until much later that I realized the full value of my experience and all it had taught me. Sometimes you don't know what to think in the moment, and years later, or a long time later, you realize your experience has taught you something.
Well, we want to continue learning with a review skit, and then we'll join Michelle in the language lab.
Ah, foreign girl, how are you doing?
Actually, I'm a bit worse for wear.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because of a political strike, I couldn't travel.
Oh, too bad.
And then I got food poisoning.
Oh, no worries. Flexibility is key.
Yeah, easy for you to say. I've heard that before.
How do you like Summit Girls Dormitory?
Well, I connected with some friends right away.
Really?
Yes, but those friendships were short-lived.
Why?
I couldn't hang around them. I was told I'm too fascinating, and I might distract them.
Oh, I understand. Tell me about dormitory life.
Oh, it is so uncomfortable, and my bed is like a rock, and it's too short.
Oh, what about the food?
Lentils and rice, but I can't eat. I'm still sick.
Oh, that's too bad.
There isn't a shower. I have to wash my hair in a bucket.
Ah, how do you survive?
Well, my roommates make my stay bearable and even fun.
Your roommates?
Yes, they bridge the language and cultural gaps.
Oh, that's nice.
We share stories, and we watch Korean dramas late into the night.
And that helps you?
Yes. Oh, without them, I would cry myself to sleep every night.
Oh, how sad.
Yeah. It's really, my bed is so uncomfortable.
Okay, 继续我们看的是 navigate 这个名词。 NAV 这个字根有船的意思， 所以navigate 本来有航行、横渡或者是穿越的意思。 例如， the boat set out to navigate the fjord， 这只船出发要开进这个峡湾。 Navigate 在这个课文当中呢， 是指驾驭或者是成功的应付。 例如， with this device you can navigate the internet at a faster speed， 有了这个装置， 你可以用更快的速度漫游于网际网络中。 所以我们看的是relieve这个动词， relief是指使解脱或减轻。 例如， Isabel decided to hire a helper to relieve her of her housework。 Isabel决定要请助手来分担她家务上的重担。 或者是， everyone was so relieved when we heard the lost boy had been found。 当我们听见这个不见的男孩找到的时候， 每个人都松了一口气。 And let's get back to our lesson。
In our lesson that Joe has written, Life in Nepal Part 3, she told us a little bit about her experiences and how difficult it was to live in this dormitory, but her friends from Singapore, her roommates, made her stay bearable. Gabe, has this ever happened to you? Have you had people help you through a difficult situation?
Sure. Yeah, actually, a while ago, after I broke up with somebody, it was difficult for both of us, and I had a very important friend, Aaron, who was there with me, and he helped me through that difficult time in my life. But I'm sure that that's happened to you as well. Maybe someone has helped you through a difficult situation.
We all face them, and we all need good friends to help us. And here at Studio Classroom, we are your friend for life, so we will see you again next time. See you then.
Goodbye.
I am so proud to have you in my life, a good friend. Last a lifetime.